Hello everyone, and welcome to the Bactiguard Year-End Report webcast. Today, I am pleased to present CEO Christian Kinch and CEO-elect and CFO Cecilia Edström. Throughout this, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and afterwards there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question, then please dial into the conference via your phone. I will now hand you over to Christian Kinch. Please go ahead.
Hello everyone, Christian Kinch here, and welcome to the Q4 and full year report for 2019. Yes, I am quite aware of that this has been quite an eventful week, so trust me, we will have time for questions, thoughts, and reflections as we go through the presentation today. I would jump straight into the presentation, and looking just at a few highlights on Q4. For sure, it's already a rhetoric leading comment that 2019 was a great year for Bactiguard. But looking at the Q4, I am very pleased to see that revenues are up by almost 50%. It is the strongest quarter ever for the BIP sales. And of course, yes, this is mainly driven by China. We will come back to China and the situation in China as well as how we are affected by the coronavirus. Along with the growth, we're also seeing a very strong profitability, as you're aware of here. The EBITDA margin is up to 20% from 8% last year. But maybe more importantly, we are finally starting to show profits on the bottom line. Together with this, cash flow. Cash is king, and our cash flow is impressively high. We will soon come back and congratulate Cecilia on that matter. So, focusing maybe more on the full year, 2019. To be very honest, yes, I am pleased. This is the best full year we have had in the history of Bactiguard for the last 15 years. Revenue is growing top line by 20%, and this is mainly driven by the enormous milestone that we took during 2019, adding Zimmer Biomet to our license portfolio. And the person to be credited on this matter is sitting just across from me, so you have all the time to congratulate her on that achievement. BIP sales were in line with 2018. So let's say, I'm satisfied, but I'm not happy. But I am satisfied due to the fact that BIP has consolidated on this high level. But bear in mind, as I have told you previously during the year, during the last 18 months, we changed nine of our major distributors. So in the light of that change that was critical for our future success, well, then I think it is okay, and that I'm pleased with. For sure, I'm very impressed that we tripled our EBITDA in absolute numbers and that we now run with a 31% EBITDA for the year. This is impressive. From a company growing strongly, I am impressed by this. And it's a pure, simple teamwork effort from the wonderful colleagues that I have. For the first time, we show a net profit of 16 million. But again, I would like to draw your attention to the very strong cash flow that we are generating. So let's move on. When we look at the BIP portfolio, it is what it is. I think it is for the quarter, nothing more to comment. We have consolidated now on a higher level. And going forward, we will go back to our aggressive targets, but that is not for me to comment, so I won't comment on that. Instead, moving on to Lina, the next page, being the license business. This is critical and very good. Here, we have also been surprised with our longest partner that we've had since an impressive 25 years, coming in with a 10% higher revenue line during 2019. But I would like to draw your attention to the fact that 4% is volume driven and the rest is more according to a favorable currency on the dollar. Thank you very much, Mr. Trump. The business, though, in license is, of course, very, very focused now on the Zimmer Biomet. We need to remember that now we have two of the world's leading companies, Becton Dickinson and Zimmer Biomet, that have put the Bactiguard stamp as a quality mark on their products. This is amazing. The pace in Zimmer Biomet is beyond my wildest dreams. To give you an insight, their project team is basically bigger than the whole former Bactiguard crew globally, before we bought Vigilance, that is. So they are dead serious about what they're doing. So when we summarize where we are on the business, on the license business, the Becton Dickinson is a very stable foundation that we are extremely proud of. This is a long-term partnership, and it will continue for that matter in such a good way going forward as well. Then we need to look what we have added during the years. Zimmer Biomet, I'm not going to talk about more. We will come back to that in Cecilia's part of this presentation. I do would like to draw your attention again to WELLEAD. Cecilia and myself, we took a very important decision a few years back. We were ahead of the trade war between Xi Jinping and Trump. Why we partnered with WELLEAD is to come closer to the Chinese market, to become more of a local partner closer to the actual market dynamics. This has been a golden decision that is going to help us grow in China, for that matter, over the coming 10 years. That we then, by coincidence, happen to choose WELLEAD, who basically sits on 50% of the global Foley market, doesn't hurt. When we look at Vigilance, I will come back to that in just a minute. But I mean, I only need to say that thanks to the collaboration with Vigilance, we landed Zimmer Biomet. So it has been a very profitable and very clever collaboration. I would like to slå ett slag in Swedish for SmartWise. Why? Because SmartWise is moving full steam ahead towards CE mark. We happen to have a doctor in the room, so maybe you'll ask him later. If we can find new ways to deliver, for example, chemotherapy into a tumor without hurting the patient, you don't have a clue how big the potential is. So I think Cecilia's decision a few years back to sign with SmartWise was as well a very clever one. When we look at the potential of the license business, we have just scratched the surface. Let's look in the lighter green, always starting from the BIP portfolio. This has a global market potential of short of $2 billion. It's sizable. Trust me, it can keep us busy for the next coming 15 years. But let's draw the attention now to the trauma again. This is a $7 billion market, and we know since before, as Cecilia has very wisely informed us, we choose not the biggest player in trauma, we choose a very hungry number third player, sitting on basically $1 billion sales, and they want to move up. Why? Let's have a look at the bar above. Orthopedic implants. Orthopedic implants, for all the laymen around the table, is hip, knee, and shoulders. That's a $44 billion market. Zimmer Biomet is number one in the market. Today, I draw your attention to another bar that is advanced wound care. This has now been turned into light green. And as we are aware of, when we have light green, that's a Bactiguard territory. Let me come back to that. As I said, it's been a busy, interesting last week on the job, you might say, finalizing our first acquisition of Vigilance. I'm going to spare myself for all the details because no one better than Cecilia will guide you through all the details on Vigilance. But I want to turn your eyes to something. Sometimes we at Bactiguard are accused of being lucky. It's interesting, a golfer once said, the more I practice, the more luck I get. What we found inside of Vigilance is a product that is called Hydrocyn. Hydrocyn is basically pure, simple, neutral water. This product is 510K approved, and we have, I say again, very early preliminary data that it works extremely well instead of using hand disinfection, Hanspritz, to use it on your hands. For example, in the time now when the world is in a negative spiral of shock called Corona, we will be testing, basically behind my back, the coronavirus live on this product. So let me, by those words, hand over to the full rationale why we acquire Vigilance. Please, Mrs. CEO, Cecilia.
Thank you, Christian. I think you all know by now that Vigilance is a privately owned company that's been around for almost 20 years now, founded by Dr. Professor Chowdhury. Started in Malaysia and then has expanded to 26 countries. Its primary business is focused on Southeast Asia. So they have a portfolio which is essentially focused on wound management with the angle of infection control. So they have the same focus as we, and that's what led to the initial partnership, which was in orthopedic trauma implants, which you all know also paved the way for the agreement the deal we signed with Zimmer Biomet. The beauty of this cooperation is that our geographical footprint is different, our product portfolios are complementary, and we can also engage in innovation by bringing our technology to their range of products and either develop new products for our own portfolio or license applications that we can take to the bigger market. They're based in Penang, Malaysia, where they have a very modern production facility. They have in around 100 employees, 15 of which are their proprietary sales force in Malaysia. So we see that we can add to our portfolio, expand our footprint, and get better synergies both on the revenue and cost side. But I'll come back to that a little later. If we go to the next slide, you can see the how the company has evolved in terms of registrations and product introductions. They have a wide range of trademarks. They also have a lot of know-how in their IP. And you could see that they were the first Malaysian company to have a Class 3 CE marked product. But what I would like to draw your attention to is the fact that the Hydrocyn Aqua, the innovative product wound wash sanitizer that Christian mentioned, was actually approved by the FDA in 2015. It's not yet sold in the US. So there's potential there to expand geographically. And a number of other innovative products in the portfolio, as you can see. We turn to the next slide to go into some of the financials of the transaction. The enterprise value of the entire operation, both the production company and the sales company, is about $7.7 million. We will pay $4.5 million at closing in cash. And we will also issue new shares, of course, subject to the approval by the AGM, but we already have the support we need, above 80% of the votes, including the big financial institutions among our shareholders. So I see that as something that will happen. And it's important also for us that the current owner, majority shareholder, CEO of Vigilance stays with the company and also becomes a shareholder in Bactiguard, because that is I wouldn't say insurance, but it's really a token of his will of staying in the company and developing it together with us into new innovative products. He also will have a lockup period of 12 months once the shares are issued. We take on a net debt of approximately $1.2 million, and that's related to the land and the property at Penang. The cash portion will be financed through bank facilities provided by SEB with a term of 3 years. And at the same time, we will extend the tenor of our current debt by 3 years. So 3 years from now, we had a facility that was expiring in December of this year, but that will now be extended until February of 2023. So joint revenues are expected to grow faster than on a standalone basis by combining our networks and adding to the portfolio. We also see in a 3 to 5 year perspective that we will gain cost synergies. And I would say they're closer to the 10 million than to the 5 million. And these cost synergies will come out of better sourcing, better use of internal resources, combining our distribution networks, our production facilities, et cetera, but I'd say that the synergies are more on the revenue side than on the cost side. Vigilance has a preliminary total revenues of just over 40 million Swedish in 2019 and an EBITDA of 6 million, resulting in an EBITDA of 14%. So not as profitable at that level as we are, but again, I see that there are synergies, so we could bring that higher. This means that we bought the company at a sales multiple of 1.7 and at an EBITDA multiple of 12. And with that, I'll hand back to Christian.
Thank you, Cecilia. So there's a time for everything, isn't it? I think the last 16 years as a CEO has been very interesting and sometimes challenging. I couldn't have dreamt about a better wingman or a wing girl than you, Cecilia. What we have gone through turning this company around, time flies when you're having fun. You said, I said that we have been working together for 5 years, and you said, no, my dear Christian, for 6 years. And that is a very good token. You and I basically joined hands 12th of June 2015. We were then hitting rock bottom at the share price of 8.4 crowns. What we have gone through is very strengthening, and I would like you all listening on this line to understand this is a full-fledged CEO already. I couldn't have more confidence ever when I now officially hand over the Bactiguard Foley catheter key to the company. Good luck, my friend.
Thank you, Christian. It's an honor. I'm very happy and proud that I've been given the responsibility to lead this company into the next phase. Those of you who know me know that I have a big corporate background, both from SEB, Scania, and TeliaSonera, and I've now practiced entrepreneurship for 6 years. So I think the combination of that will be of benefit both to me in terms of my experience and to the company. And I'm also very happy that I will also have a wingman. Christian had a wingwoman. I will have a wingman, Stefan Grass. And I think I can honestly say that in the few months we've worked together, I've seen that we complement each other very well. Stefan has a medical and an entrepreneurial background, and I think that we will complement each other very well in taking this company forward. So with that, I'd like to introduce Stefan and for you to say a few words about who you are.
Thank you very much, Cecilia. My name is Stefan Grass, as you mentioned. So I'm anesthesiologist and intensive care specialist from background and worked many years at Karolinska. Also did some research there, PhD, and then I went to the industry about 9 years ago. I was head of medical affairs for CSL Behring, a small biotech company for the Nordic region there. And since October now, I'm part of the Bactiguard team. And as an anesthesiologist, you work very closely to the surgeons. So you really work in team. And if you say wingman, maybe I'm the anesthesiologist and you are the surgeon. So we work together and make sure the patient gets through and becomes much, much better.
Thank you.
May I also remind, sorry, then I will forever shut up, ask you a comment on the coronavirus and, let's say, the hydrogen format.
Yeah. The hydrogen is a really interesting product and complementing Bactiguard portfolio really good since its wound care is one of the most common areas of healthcare-related infections. So we're going to look very closely to that, and I've already looked a bit in the publications around this solution, which is also called super-oxidized solution, and it's basically killing the or destroying the outer layer of the bacteria surface, so killing the bacteria, and it has a really high kill rate to bacteria. It's around 100%, 99 to 100% within a few minutes only, or even seconds. So it's really interesting. We're going to look now into how the kill rate of this solution is on coronavirus, as Christian mentioned. So this is really, really interesting and I think perfect match for our portfolio.
One of the things that Stefan has done in the first few months with Bactiguard is to cast a fresh eye on our clinical evidence, looked at how it can be used for what purposes in sharpening our messages and also developing and getting our studies in pipeline published. So I think we have a lot of good news to look forward to. So welcome to the team.
Thank you.
Let's now dive into financials in a bit more detail. We'll go to the next slide, where you all know that we have two lines of business, the license business for various applications with our technology that generate upfront revenue at signing and then royalties on sales going forward. And then our proprietary product portfolio, which we sell through distributors, which have now doubled in size with the acquisition of Vigilance. We look at the sales growth and profitability. You can see that in the chart that we have a very stable underlying business with BD. It varies a bit with between quarters, it varies a bit with between years, but essentially it's very stable. And then we add the yellow bar, which is the new license revenue, which initially is a bit more lumpy, but over time also will generate a steady royalty stream. And on top of that, the revenue from our own product portfolio. We look at the development of our own product portfolio. Christian has already mentioned that we had a very strong fourth quarter, and we've touched upon the fact that our sales are still somewhat irregular between quarters, which depends on the fact that our distributors place orders in lumps, which means that they will come in more in lumps. But there, again, as sales to end customers have become more and more stable, we will see a more stable flow there as well. But as we saw very strong orders and deliveries in the second half of 2019, we expect that the beginning of this year will be a bit slow. Looking at our revenue distribution, we have been very dependent on BD in the past. You can see that we are gradually decreasing our dependence on them. We don't want sales to go down, but we want the slice of the pie to get smaller by adding new license agreements and by increasing sales of our own portfolio of products. Looking at the financial overview, which we've already touched upon, we had revenues of close to 200 million for the full year, with an EBITDA margin of over 30%. Now, if you compare that to the 14% we had in 2018, the comparable number is the 26, where we've adjusted for the IFRS 16 accounting principles. Again, we had for the first time a net profit, and to that we can also add back the depreciation of our technology, which is 24 million. And our technology actually gets more valuable as we sign new license agreements and increase our sales of our own product portfolio rather than depreciating. But it is a very effective tax shield. And not to forget the operating cash flow, where we turned a 5 million deficit into 50 million surplus this year. I think that speaks for itself. Focusing in on cash flow and liquidity, quite a substantial portion of the liquidity was related to the payment of the initial license fee by Zimmer, which we received in the fourth quarter. But we've also had an improvement in accounts receivable, where we've turned that around in the year, and we work continuously to keep working capital at a lower level. We went from a very small net cash surplus last year to a healthy cash surplus. And with the overdraft facility, we have substantial liquidity. I've already touched upon how we will finance the Vigilance acquisition. It is a cash flow positive company, so it will add to our cash flow going forward. We haven't changed our financial targets. We still focus on growing sales by 20% per annum until the end of this year and delivering an EBITDA margin of at least 30%. But of course, with the addition of Vigilance, we will revise our financial targets during the course of the year. But we are, as we are investing in the business, the board proposes no dividend for 2019. But as we get into a more steady growth period, we will be able to look at that in due course as well. Our strategy. Our strategy is to increase sales of our own portfolio. Now, in one shop, we've actually doubled the size of that portfolio, and we intend to grow. So we've added the portfolio, and we've added new markets. In addition to that, adding 1 to 2 new license deals every year and broadening our portfolio. And with the acquisition of Vigilance, I see that we have a much better platform for doing that. So to conclude, I think I'd like to start by saying that infection control is more important than ever. We've seen it across the world. We've seen it with the spread, very rapid spread of the coronavirus, which is alarming for different reasons. Financially, yes, but also in terms of looking at patients and mortality. Patients who are infected by virus don't often die because of the virus infection, but bacterial secondary infections, and that is where Bactiguard comes into play. Our solution protects vulnerable patients from getting sicker by acquiring a bacterial infection, and I think that will be... Our technology is more relevant than ever in adding, protecting patients and adding to the third sustainability goal, good health and well-being for all people across the world. It is, in fact, as large a threat as climate change, but we don't talk as much about it. Sepsis kills 1 out of 5 people across the world. So it is an escalating problem that we need to address. If that was a bit gloomy introduction to the concluding remarks, I think we can now focus on the future. We are entering a new development phase in the company's history. We are sizably bigger. We have a bigger organization. We have a bigger portfolio. We have a bigger footprint. And we have a new management team. We've made our first ever acquisition, and we are accelerating to build for the next level. 2019, we delivered an all-time high financially. I won't dwell on that anymore because we've done that enough already. But I think I'd like to reiterate that the fact that we have two of the biggest medical device companies globally as customers put the quality stamp on our technology. The different applications both for short-term and long-term use, and this will pave the way for new applications. And if we were to look for the first milestone in the similar project or the next milestone, it really is when we file for the 510K application route, which will generate new revenues of $1 million. But I think more importantly, showing that our technology can be filed for 510K, and that will be a clear signal to the market that it's both safe and effective. We expect that to be somewhere in the middle of this year, as Zimmer Biomet are working very in a very structured and well-sounded way to look at how to build claims and also get the shelf life they want on the product. So I think we can say that our growth strategy worked. We kept our sales of our own portfolio at the same level as at last year. We have added substantial new license revenue. We will add more revenue through the Vigilance acquisition, and I'm confident that we will add more license agreements going forward. So our growth strategy works. With that, I'd like to hand over to the operator again to ask for questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. And our first question comes to the line of Mattias Vadsten from SEB. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, hi there, and congrats on a solid set of numbers. First on BD, so it beat my forecast in the quarter. So obviously congrats to the higher volumes this quarter. Going forward, do you view this as sort of being sustained in coming quarters also? Let's say 4-5% growth for BD sales or something like that? Thank you.
I'd like to say that the BD business is stable. It varies a bit between quarters, both in terms of volume, but more often related to the dollar. So I wouldn't count in any organic growth unless we find a way of adding new licensed businesses.
Okay, thank you very much. Moving on to the BIP sales. So you talked about the new distributor that you have, but could you elaborate a bit further? And my question is really, do you see a positive year-over-year delta in all of those now, or how is it going?
Are you talking about our own distribution network, or are you talking about the one that we are gaining through Vigilance?
Your own distributor network, the one
okay.
That you changed over the past year.
Yes. Yeah, we have changed some of our distributors, in fact, quite a few of them in the Middle East. We are seeing good traction there, that the new distributors are actually increasing sales that we already had, that is recurring sales. In Europe, we've changed distributors. We used to have our own sales force in Sweden, for example. Now we have a distributor taking the Nordic countries and the Benelux countries. That started last year. We have a relatively new distributor in Germany, a new one in Switzerland, and a few more countries. It takes about 1 to 1.5 years before we see solid growth. But in the markets where we've been longer, we see that recurring sales are being established. So, yes, I would say that we will see increasing sales across the board. But it will, again, be lumpy in the new markets as they take deliveries. Not every quarter, but every other quarter or so.
Yes. Thank you very much. So, obviously, Middle East was very strong. Can you just elaborate? I mean, what kind of growth rates are we really seeing there? Can you disclose that?
Now, I won't go into the details of every region, but what I can say is that we are seeing solid growth in the markets where we've been longer. We've just launched in Egypt, so this year I think we will see where that takes us, but I won't go into the exact details of each region.
Thank you very much. So I go on to my last question here on gross margins. So it was weaker year over year and also weaker actually than what I expected. So what I see is that it's a larger share of revenues coming from Well Lead in China. So is it possible for you to comment on the Welly gross margin perhaps versus the rest of the revenues in your BIP sales? Thank you.
It's not essentially different from the other markets that we sell our own product portfolio to. There are some additional costs linked to labeling, for example, that China requires specific labeling, which adds to the cost. That will, of course, go away as we enter into the license phase, which we're focusing on now, getting all our products registered for licensing. And if I comment on the gross margin in total, our license business is, as you know, much more profitable with high gross margin, whereas our set of our own portfolio is lower. But as we increase volumes, that will improve over time. And we're targeting there a 75% gross margin. We're not there yet, but we're around the 45 to 65% range, depending on which product it is.
Yes. Thank you very much. And then perhaps the last one on, and I mean, now with the acquisition of Vigilance here, this is more a reporting question, but where do you plan to put Vigilance in terms of segment in the reporting? Have you decided on that yet?
Yeah, that will be in the sense of our own product portfolio. Unless we do licensing deals, then it will come as license revenue.
Mm.
But yeah, we'll come back to that once we've integrated to them.
Perfect. So thank you very much, and congrats on a solid quarter.
Thank you.
Thank you. And as there are no further questions at the moment, I will hand the word back to the speakers for any final comments. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Well, this is my will be the start of my time as CEO of Bactiguard. I'm really looking forward to it. We've built a very solid platform over the past few years. And we've had a very eventful year last year, and this year has started no less eventful. I think we have a bright future ahead of us. It won't be come without challenges, but I think we have a bright future, and I look forward to leading Bactiguard into the next phase. Thank you.
And this now concludes today's webcast. Thank you all for attending, and you may now disconnect your lines.